Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered, like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches, but there aren't, right?
Right, because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
You're tuned into the Active Action Podcast. Step into a world of engaging conversations with leading experts, where every episode is your chance to learn, grow, and stay inspired. Become our proactive member and get access to expert strategy guides on personal and professional development, bonus episodes, and other exclusive contents. Visit activeaction.fm for more information. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Active Action Podcast. It's me, your host, Dr. Nazif, and I'm back again with another amazing guest. Today, we have with us Daniel Burs. And Daniel is a globally recognized futurist, keynote speaker, business strategist, and AI expert who help learners anticipate disruption and create exponential opportunities. As a strategic advisor and consultant to Fortune 500 companies, he has guided executives in developing future-ready strategies that drive innovation, growth, and transformation. Thank you so much, Dan, for joining today's podcast. Do you want to introduce yourself to our audiences, apart from what I said?
Yeah, just very briefly, we all have a journey to our lives, many chapters in the book of life. And by the way, if one of your chapters is getting to be kind of a bummer, you need a new chapter. So let's make sure that we're writing our book of life to make it one that someone would want to read because it's interesting, engaging, and so on. So I started out teaching biology and physics long ago and had an idea for an airplane design. So I designed it and test flew it and ended up with 37 national locations in the first year. Started another company, another one, all very innovative. All of them grew rapidly, but I missed teaching. So I decided to sell those companies decades ago. And I didn't want to go back to teaching because I never go back. I can only go forward. I mean, I ride a Harley-Davidson motorcycle. It has no reverse, if you know what I mean. So what I did is I looked at all the things I didn't like about teaching, and I skipped all of those. For example, I didn't like the limitation of the classroom, so I decided to make the classroom the planet Earth, and I've been consulting and speaking on over 50 countries, so obviously that happened, and I didn't like the limitations of a institution, educational institution, so I just didn't work for one, created my own company.
So that's wonderful.
Basically, what I'm really trying to do, I'll get right down to it, is get us all to be less reactionary and more anticipatory. To be less of crisis managers, personally and professionally, putting out fires, and be more opportunity managers, looking at the amazing amount of opportunity there is for every single one of you right now.
That's so wonderful, Dan. And I know, like, you have advised everyone from, like, Fortune 500 company CEOs to the even U.S. Department of Defense. So when did you first realize you had a talent for seeing what's actually coming next?
Well, that actually is kind of a funny question in a way, because I've been doing this for many decades, and I always, even during my teaching years, because I taught science, biology, and physics, I was always collecting articles on the latest innovations in all these different areas, because I'm interested in all these areas, biology, from fiber optics to robots to genetics, and I was always thinking about the future impact. And here's the funny part. A couple of years ago, I went to a high school reunion. Hadn't been to one for many decades. And I decided, let's just go. And to my surprise, my high school classmates were saying, oh, yeah, when you're in high school, you're talking about the future all the time. So maybe I'm just wired that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But for those of us that are listening that aren't necessarily wired that way, why the future? Because we're all going to spend the rest of our life in the future. Think about it. Maybe we ought to think about it more often. Maybe instead of being a passive receiver of the future, waiting and seeing what will happen, maybe we need to be active shapers of the future, shaping a better future for yourselves and for others. That's what I'd like to see.
That's so wonderful. When you were starting on your journey, was there an early moment, maybe one of your first predictions that actually made you think, okay, I'm really onto something here?
Yes. I would say that I had sold one of my businesses and I was already starting to do some research. And then I realized there was a new innovation with lasers that allowed you to do something that was before impossible. And then I started thinking, well, actually, there's a lot of technologies that will allow us to do the impossible. And so I spent a year, probably 8 to 10 to 12 hours a day for a year, this is many decades ago, looking at every new area in biology, chemistry, and physics, every new area of technology. Mm-hmm. And after a year of that, remember, that's intense. That's like getting a PhD in a year. I had a true epiphany. And I don't know if many people have had one, but I saw the future. I saw where we are now. Mm-hmm. I saw where we're even going. I mean, all of a sudden it became clear. And what am I going to do? Run out in the street and say, hey, I saw the future. You know, that isn't going to work. Yes. So I started writing and giving speeches, and that's led to 6 best-selling books and thousands of speeches and wonderful. Many followers, because I believe in empowering people. And instead of telling you, here are some trends in good luck, I like to teach you, that's the teacher in me, a way to better see the future. And because it gives us some power.
Wonderfully explains that, Dan. So, Dan, I've heard one of the things that you teach is about heart-trained mindset. So you teach people to separate like heart trends from soft trends. So can you let our listeners know a bit about what are actually heart trends and soft trends? And how does differentiating like heart trend from soft trend help someone in their personal life, not only in their business?
Yeah, good. I'm glad you asked that last part too, because that's so important. Well, right now, we probably have more uncertainty on the planet Earth than ever before. What's going to happen with the stock market? What's going to happen with the value of your house? What's going to happen with your business? What's going to happen with politics? I mean, there's so much uncertainty, but uncertainty does not empower you to make bold moves. Actually, uncertainty makes you hold back, makes you wait and see what will happen. But when you have certainty, you have the confidence to make a bold move. So all trends can be divided into one or two categories. They're either a hard trend based on a future fact that will happen. And the litmus test is it can't be changed. Now, I'll give you some examples in a minute, but let me just tell you the other type. And that is soft trends. And soft trends may or may not happen. Now, I didn't say they won't, but there's a difference between a future fact and a future maybe. And they're both usable. So there's two key things. One is all trends are either hard trends or soft trends. And second, a trend by itself is academic until you attach an opportunity for you. And the minute you attach an opportunity, it bursts into life. Now, I promised I'd give you a couple of examples, and then I'll let you ask me some more questions. So let me give you a few quick ones. In the world of wireless technology, we went from 3G wireless to 4G wireless. Today, we have 5G wireless. Is that it? No.
Yeah.
6G followed by 7G. By the way, that's hard. See, in the both Canada and the United States have aging populations. And in the United States, there are 10,000 people turning 70 years old every day. 10,000 a day. Now, are they going to chronologically get younger? No. Hard trend. They're going to get older. And we could predict a lot of problems and pre-solve them, or we could let them play out. And what I am saying is hard trends let you see disruption before it disrupts, turning disruption into a choice. And it lets you see problems before you have them, so you can pre-solve them and move forward faster. So again, that's where you can get some certainty in an uncertain world. And I do love soft trends, by the way. What do I love about a soft trend? If you don't like it, you can change it. For example, right now, if you're in an industry and sales are going down, and it looks like they'll continue to go down next year, all of next year, that is a soft trend. What do I mean by that? Well, you may not be able to change the global industry, but you can change your company. You can decide, we're not going to write it down. We're going to change our strategy so that we can take advantage.
That wonderfully explains that, Dan. And can you let our audiences know, how can people understand what is a hard trend and what is a soft trend? So is there some signs, or is there some qualities or aspects that people can look out for to recognize so that they can cater their visions in those ways?
Yes, I think the basic way to do it is to ask yourself, can it be changed? Mm-hmm. And if the answer is it can be changed, it's soft. But there's a lot of things that we think that are soft that we think are hard. Let me give you an example. I don't know the Canadian statistics. I've done a lot of work up there. I love Canada, but I don't know the statistics. So let me give you a U.S. statistic.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Healthcare costs in this country have been going up for decades. Now, we have a very different system than in Canada and other parts of the world, but it's been going way up. Mm-hmm. By the way, that's a trend. Now, is that a hard trend that'll just keep going up no matter what we do? Or is it a soft trend? Now, our government tends to think it's a hard trend, so therefore, all of the reforms are around healthcare payment. How do we pay for the mess that baby boomers will cause as they get older? But when you realize that it's actually a soft trend, if you don't like it, you can change it. And let me give you an example. In the U.S., I mean, we have a crazy system here. You wouldn't believe it, but an aspirin costs $25. But nobody knows. Nobody knows that. A knee, if you're getting an artificial knee put in, and because you played too much tennis, the same knee made by the same company, the same size, the same everything, can vary in price by over 100%. But see, we as consumers don't know that. We don't know the cost of anything. No wonder the price keeps going up. But if we applied the technology called blockchain and put all of it blockchain, making it visible, now we can see what that aspirin costs. Now we can see that we would make better choices and healthcare costs would come down. So I'm just saying that the beauty of a soft trend is if you don't like it, you can change it. And the beauty of a hard trend is, you know, you can see disruption before it disrupts, and you can see opportunities. Remember, I mentioned the aging population in both of our countries.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So let me give you an example of a way to find an opportunity that's based on a hard trend. When people get into their 80s and 90s, many times they fall.
Yes.
And that they can break a hip or something, very painful, sometimes deadly. Often deadly, indeed. As a matter of fact, sadly.
Indeed.
And we have a big, high number of people that are going to be getting into their late 80s and 90s. Are they all going to be falling? Well, that's a soft trend. We could do something about it, or we could let them all be falling. And let me give an example then. So as an entrepreneur, I might think, wait a minute, we could put a little rubber thing that we could create that could go around a shoe with a sensor on one end. And the sensor I'm about to describe can be printed 3D and the size of a fly's eye right now, today. And if I did that and put that little sensor on there, I would Bluetooth it to the person's hearing aid. And if they don't have a hearing aid, we'll call it a hearing enhancement device. And then when they're walking, if there's a step going down, it'll say step down. If there's a step going up, it'll say step up. If there's a kid's toy in the way, it'll say Johnny's toy is on the way again. We'll get less people falling. Now, a device like that does not exist today. So I want you now, your listeners, to ask yourself, will we never, ever see anything like it? And the answer is, you probably will. Because if it can be done, it will be done. If you don't do it, someone else will.
Right. Yes. That's
true. A lot of people love to go fishing and boating. And the problem is, as they get older, it gets hard to launch the boat. So, what if we decided to create the easy launch trailer for seniors. I made it really easy for seniors. Would we have a growing market every year? Yeah, 10,000 are turning 70 a day. It would be a supermarket growing. Would we know which countries to export to? Yes, we know the aging population. Mexico, I would not go there. That's not an aging population. Japan, oh yeah. Mm. Europe, yes. Canada, yes. So in other words, we have just created something that is low risk and high reward because we have the baby boomers' growth and getting older powering it. What I'm getting at is you can create a low risk, amazing innovations when you have the certainty of hard trends. And we've just done to show you examples of that. There are so many thousands of them, actually.
That's so wonderful, Dan, to hear, you know, and there are actually a lot of food for thought, you know, to understand like what are the aspects that we can actually work on, things that actually can help, especially focusing on the soft trends of what is about to happen and eventually how we can leverage that to create something that maybe is not as like well established right now, but that can actually bring on to success, even like tapping into small things. But it's very important to have that systems thinking perspective and to foresee what's going to happen and see those trends, recognizing what will not change at all, but more tapping into things that might have a change potential and work on those, you know. So wonderful, wonderful perspective.
Yeah, yeah. As a matter of fact, I had something happen to me, and I'll give you an example of how I thought about it. Mm-hmm. I just saw a video a few days ago of Nike, who is working on it's called an exoskeleton. It's a little thin device that goes along the lower leg and the foot so that it's very lightweight, got a little battery pack. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it lets you walk and run and go up hills with 1/10 of the effort.
Wow.
Right? Now,
that's unique.
And by the way, nurses in Japan are using body exoskeletons right now so that they can lift a 90-pound nurse can lift 150-pound patient into a bed without a problem, without stress or strain.
Mm-hmm.
So when I see
futuristic.
That, so then I ask myself, let's go back to the Nike one with the shoe, right? And the lower body.
Mm-hmm.
So will it get more powerful over time? Yes, hard trend. Will the materials become lighter? Yes, hard trend. Now let's look at the aging population. What's another reason people fall? They fall because their feet and ankles get weak and their muscles get weak.
Right.
And they're not good at steadying themselves. Mm-hmm. So if I was an entrepreneur, I might say, I'm going to look at what Nike's doing to help people run faster and climb up hills faster and see if I can modify it for 80 and 90-year-olds to walk steadily and not fall.
That's wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing those perspectives. I have known you worked a lot with leaders who operate in high-pressure, fast-moving environments. So what habits actually help people, from your experience, to stay calm and focused when everything feels uncertain?
Yeah, we talked about how to find certainty in an uncertain world. Mm-hmm. So you need to balance certainty and uncertain so that you can be more anticipatory. In other words, just defining problems before you have them and pre-solving them, things like that. But a few other things that I wanted to share with all of you, and that is I was giving a commencement speech recently, and what I said in the beginning I think is germane to something I'd like to share with you all. I started out by saying, I don't want you to focus on being successful and success.
Right.
And I let that sit for a minute, because of course that's the opposite of what we think, especially for a commencement speech. And I said, here's why I say that, because success is focused on you. Success is about how much money you make, how cool your car is, how big your house is. If it's a business, it's how much revenue you're generating. It's all about you. Instead of living a successful life, what I'd like you to do is live a significant life, because significance is about what you do for others. And when you can elevate what you do for others, you'll find yourself being more successful. So that was number one, is focus on significance and doing things that are more significant on a daily basis. And then the other thing that I shared that I think is interesting is I said, I know you're all just getting your degrees now, you're graduating, and you've got big plans for the future. You're thinking big. But when I look back, when I got my last degree, I thought I was thinking big, but now that I look back, I realize I was thinking too small. There was a bigger big. And what I would suggest for all of you now is there's a bigger big. You're already thinking too small.
Yes.
So you can't see the bigger big until you've defined the big in the first place. It's kind of like climbing a mountain. If you're at the bottom of a mountain and you want to get to the top, you look at the bottom. From the bottom, you see the top. That's my goal. But when you get halfway up the mountain, guess what? You see that that wasn't the top. You couldn't see the real top from the bottom. You had to get that far up to see the real top, and then you change your plan to get to the real top. The same thing is true with our goals. All of us are thinking too small because when I look at the hard trends shaping the future, when I look at the opportunities to transform, not just change every business, product, process, and service, I realize, wow, we're at a unique point in human history. We are doing things today that was impossible 2 years ago. And by the way, 2 years from now, we'll be doing things that are impossible today.
Right.
Let's think more into not getting hung up on what's impossible, but rather what are the things that we can do to create something far more significant.
Oftentimes I see, Daniel, that people are hung up with what I have not achieved rather than foreseeing what could happen more and how can even I change a little bit of the things that I've done before to make my life a bit better, to make my life a bit different. So that is an exact on point that you just hit on. Just not thinking about what has already happened, but also to think about the possibilities as well. What do everyday people misunderstand about the future? If someone feels stuck, how can anticipatory thinking help them to take their next step?
Great question. Thank you. Well, first of all, you can't change the past. You can learn from it. I like to learn from it, but some people are very hung up on it. They carry it around with them like a ball and chain. And I think we need to let some of it go because you can't change it. But you can change your future based on what you do today. And so that's why I want us to think more abundantly about it. Think bigger about it. And I would like you to discover the undiscovered self. Now, let me describe what I mean by that. You may be the world's best flute player. But if you never pick one up, you'll never know. I believe that most of us have not discovered all that's inside of ourselves. There's so much more inside of us that's yet untapped. Wouldn't you like to find out what that is? Wouldn't you like to try learning some new things? And if you try one thing and it doesn't work, there's millions of other things to try.
Right.
And
sure.
I made that into a process back when I was in my early 20s. I made a commitment to learn one new thing a year, because I figured that was doable. It's doable. So 1 year I learned how to make movies. 1 year I learned photography. 1 year I learned how to dance. 1 year I learned how to cook. 1 year there was an open mic at a comedy club on Thursday nights. And I went and I knew I could get my buddies to laugh. Could I get strangers to laugh? And that was scary. But if you go through something that's scary, it stops being scary. I started doing that. And, well, that was decades and decades and decades ago. Now, I can play a dozen musical instruments. I've got all kinds of things that I can do that I would have never known if I would have not been in trying to discover the hidden me.
Right.
So I'm going to suggest to all of you that there's a lot hidden in you, and I don't want you to leave this planet not discovering it. I'd like you to kind of find out what's in there, because there's a lot in you that's really good and really powerful that's yet to be discovered. So that's one little thing over here. And one other thing I want to throw out there that I'd like you to think about is that I know that you, all of you, have multiple talents. Yeah, you got talents and you're probably using them in your job, but you also have a special gift. And most people don't know what their gift is, but everybody's got one. And a gift is different than a talent. You see, a talent, you are good at it, you're talented, it's fun to use your talents, but you only can go up so high and then you kind of plateau and start coasting. But if you're using your gift, there's an endless up. You can be 90 years old and be getting better. So I would like you to ask yourself, what might be my real true gift? And you don't look out to find that. You have to look in to find that. It's the inner journey. And I would suggest that your best friends probably know more about your gift than you do. Might be good to ask each other. And when you can find your gift, here's what happens. Your all those other things are things that are good, your talents, but they can keep you from discovering your gift. They can keep you.
So true.
But if you can think of what your gift is, you direct the talents to support the gift, and it's like a thermal. It allows you to coast and glide without flapping your wings.
Right.
So yes. Two things that I'm sharing with you then right now that I'd love for you to consider. One is maybe learning one new thing a year, starting that journey, because it adds up. Hopefully you'll live long and you'll uncover all kinds of things you didn't know you could do. And the other thing is, ask yourself and try to discover what is that gift inside. Because when you can define that gift, that's when you shift from having a career to having a calling.
That's so wonderful advice, Dan. And dear listeners, I really encourage you to discover the gifts in yourselves. There are oftentimes that we ourselves, undermine ourselves and we think that we are not good at anything. Each and every individual of us has an inner gift. In many cases, we may be able to discover that, but in a long portion of case, we don't discover that in our lifetime. So a couple of triggers that might, make you think about your gift is what you like actually doing. For example, in me, I initially struggled to face people. So I thought, okay, so if I, create a podcast and if I start talking to different people, start talking more towards the camera, maybe that my inertia would go away at some time. And that actually really helped me to thrive and how the podcast is doing. So I won't, maybe the podcasting, or maybe this is not a gift, but this is one of the quality that I rediscovered when I actually took the time to understand what my lackings were. So this is all a part of the process of, discovering your inner potential and your inner gift. So I really encourage you to look into that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. We all have fears too. Mm-hmm. And I know when I started out, I mentioned I started out as a teacher and I got an Educator of the Year my first year. I was good at teaching, but then I had idea for a business and I decided to try that, but I had a fear. I've never had a business course. So I had the fear of failure. But here's what helped me. I thought to myself, well, I got more fears than that. Why don't I lay out all my fears? And because we have more than one. And I laid them all out. And here's what I found. The fear of regret was more powerful than the fear of failure.
So true.
Because I didn't want to be an old person that never tried.
So true.
Always saying, I should have done that. I should have done that. I didn't want to be that guy. So in this case, laying all the fears out helped me to overcome the fear that was keeping me from doing it. Mm-hmm. So fear can actually work for you instead of against you.
That's so true, Dan. You talk a lot about, confidence coming from certainty and not having to do guesswork. So can I ask you, how can someone build that certainty in their job or their business from your experience?
Well, again, certainty is super powerful because it gives you the confidence to make bold moves. So one of the things that you may want to do after this podcast is make a couple little lists. Just try this. Make a little list of things that you are certain about. These are things I know will happen. Now think in terms of technology because, like I said, AI is not going to go away. And you could really come up with a pretty good list. If you don't like that, think of demographics. We have all these different generations and think about that. What do we know? And what do we know about human nature? In other words, get a list of certainties. I call them hard trends. And then tie an opportunity to it. Because that's how you can start seeing, there might be something I can do with that. Something I can use that as something to help me. And you'll get a list. And then what I'd like you to do is to reduce it down to maybe one actionable thing that you take action on, because big lists never get done. Yes. So think about that. Remember, you're going to spend the rest of your life in the future. Good to think about it. And on my, you know, I've got over 1 million people following me on LinkedIn. You can surely follow me there, because why do I have so many? Because I'm sharing a lot of these things that people can use. Doesn't cost you anything to do that. And if you went to Burris.com, I've got a lot of free resources that can help you get better at separating hard from soft trends, so you can see how this works. Again, I'm not trying to sell you something. I'm here to try to give you something. Take a look at those.
Sure. For sure. Dear listeners, in this point, I wanted to mention you again. We do have a dedicated web page for Dan in our website. So if you just go to that web page, you will get the bio of Dan and also all the links for his the social and his website. So please feel free to check those out. I encourage you, because those are wonderful, wonderful resources. And a few that I'm going to talk to you about in the end of this podcast. But before going to that, Dan, I want to ask you a question. I was actually wanting to ask you for a long time when I first got to know you, you know, when your agent, I got to connect with your agent. But you have founded 6 companies and 4 of them are national leaders in the first year. That's a huge, huge achievement. Can you share something with our listeners? Like, what did you learn from those business when you started that would apply for today's entrepreneurs?
I am happy to do that. Remember, I came from teaching, from the world of teaching biology and physics, science. So I knew nothing about business. So therefore, I had a couple of rules that I gave myself. The first rule is, I needed to fail fast because I couldn't afford to fail slow.
Okay.
So some of us spend years failing at things. And I would rather, if I see myself not doing well at something and I try to get better at it and it keeps not working, I'm better off saying, okay, then let's try something else instead of continuing. Because if I fail fast, I can learn faster. In other words, what did I learn from that failure? Because a failure is positive if you turn it into a learning experience. The second thing that I did, because I didn't have a lot of money, that's what I had to do, fail fast. And then the second thing is, I didn't know how to compete. So I decided I would not compete. Now, here's what I mean by that. I would look at who a potential competitor would be, see what they're doing, so that I knew what not to do. Why? Because they're already doing it. They're already good at it.
Right.
I want to do what they're not doing. I want to do what they're bad at. Because if I'm really good at doing what they're really bad at, I can beat them. So the key is, I don't want to compete. The third is, I want to innovate. But I don't have, remember, I started from teaching, which meant I didn't have a lot of money. So I had to be able to innovate with low risk. And that's where the hard trends and certainty help. So I started using that to come up with ideas that I knew would get bigger and bigger over time, even if I didn't do anything.
That's so valuable to learn, Dan. And thank you so much for sharing that, you know, little tip or secret insight from your own knowledge. I'm sure it will help our listeners to enhance their way of thinking and then how that can support their entrepreneurial ventures or business as well. You brought about a very, you know, important point in today's era, that is AI, artificial intelligence. So at this world, at this time, I think there are AI more than ever, and AI is getting integrated in all of the things. At the time of AI, many people are also, you know, worrying that AI would replace their work. So from your advising on companies that are focused on AIs, what would be your advice to those people who are afraid that what should they focus on more?
Yeah, well, AI is actually able to magnify you, the human. And AI is good at doing things that humans don't do well, and humans are really good at doing things that AI doesn't do well. AI is not good at establishing trust, for example.
Yes.
Establishing a relationship, for example. And I could, it's not very good at collaborating, not very good at communicating. It doesn't really experience anything. For example, you and I know that there's something called gravity. And and how do I know that? Well, if I jump up, I'll come back down again.
Right.
AI can't jump up. AI can't experience anything. It can know, see, it doesn't know anything. It's just sending us stuff back. So here's a way to think about it. AI is going to augment our thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me give you an example, because examples, I think, help us to understand. So if you know someone that has cancer, heaven forbid, you'll need an oncologist. That's the doctor that treats cancer.
Right, yes.
And right now, today, AI knows more about oncology than any living oncologist. It knows every MRI, every X-ray, everybody that's ever had cancer, every chemotherapy, the results of all that. No human can keep all of that in their head because that's global knowledge. AI yes. can do that. So if you know someone that has cancer, I'm going to give you three choices. Choice number one, a really good oncologist. Choice number two, just AI. Choice number three, a really good oncologist that has access to AI. There's the future.
Yes.
There's your indeed. Future. It's augmenting your thinking rather than replacing it. There are some things we need to learn. And you, by the way, our jobs will change. Why? Because we do a lot of stuff that's repetitive. No matter what your job is, there's a lot of repetitive work. And that's keeping you from doing higher level work. You've never even experienced all that you are and what you can give because you've been so busy with a lot of low level tasks. So what we're doing is AI can help you do a lot of those lower level tasks and do them for you instead of replacing you. We only need you for low level stuff. No.
Right.
What we're doing instead is freeing people to do higher level work. Companies that are laying off coders, for example, people that write code, they're doing that a lot right now, are really stupid. Here's why. Because they're laying off the lowest level people that actually could be much higher level people if they had AI helping them do the low level code.
Yes, yes.
Then they could go to the next level and get more. And by the way, a lot of those companies that have been laying off those people, I already know they've been hiring them back. They've been hiring people back.
Oh, okay. Because so AI was not able to replace that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it turns out a human is different than AI.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness.
Yes, so, indeed.
So we're going to augment our thinking with it, and it's going to help to magnify you. Now, if you don't like to learn new things and you don't like change, you probably won't like the future very much.
Yes,
but,
indeed.
But change doesn't mean it has to be worse. Remember what I said in the beginning of this podcast. I don't want you to be active or passive receivers of the future as it unfolds.
Right.
I want you to be actively shaping a better future for yourself, for your family, and for the business you work with, for everyone. I want us to shape a better future, because if you're not, you may not like the future you get. And there's an old saying, you can't teach an old dog a new trick. So if you're older, here's what I have to say about that. Good, we're not dogs.
Yes, indeed.
We're humans, thank goodness. We can learn new tricks regardless.
Yes,
I mean, I know people indeed. That are 80 and 90 learning all kinds of new things. I know other people that are 40 and 50 that don't want to learn new things.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about their chronological age. It's about their mindset.
Indeed. Thank you, Dan, for sharing those perspectives. I want to talk to your listeners a bit about some of your resources. And I have gone through a couple of them, and those are so wonderful. So two of the resources that I would to highlight in this podcast is a top 25 tech trend report for 2026 and your AI strategy report. Can you talk a little bit through about these resources for our listeners to get a better understanding that what can they expect to get out of these resources and how they can effectively use these resources for their betterment?
Well, you can download both for free, the 25techtrendsreport.com. That's how you can get it. And you'll have it in your links later. You can download that. And it's got the 25 main technologies that are shaping the future. And it's good to know what's shaping the future. You don't have to be a technologist. You need to be aware. Just like you can't use a smartphone if you don't know it exists. But if you know something exists, then you can start thinking of how might I use it. And by the way, most of you don't know the physics of how a smartphone works. So what?
Right.
You can still apply it by making a call or doing something on it. So you don't have to be a technologist. And in that report, I show you how you can think about this when you do your planning. So that's that report. The other report is the AIstrategyReport.com. You can find it there. And what I've done in there is I have actually tried using over, get this, 100 AI tools. Bet you don't know that many people that have ever done that.
That's wonderful.
And I've actually tried them and used them. Some of them aren't good at all, you know, but some are, really good. So what I did is in this report, which is free, I've got the top five tools that are for all these different categories. Most people don't know the categories. An example of a category, I need to make a slide deck. Well, what are the top five AI tools that can help you make a great slide deck? It's in there. Or other ones. There's all these categories. And I have case studies of how businesses are using them if you're a business. And by the way, all of them you can try for free. Whoa, how wonderful is that? And if you like it and you find one useful, they typically are about $20 a month to use. And if it's really useful, that's a bargain. So yes. You can download that report. And I also show you how to do prompting and other things in there. So was asked when OpenAI first introduced ChatGPT, now almost 3 years ago. Whoa, time goes by. I was interviewed in a reporter from a major publication said, will humans be replaced by AI? And my answer was, humans will be replaced by humans using AI.
That's perfectly on spot, Dan.
Yeah. So you'll all end up using it, including plumbers, by the way. They'll have a little thing in their ear, a little camera up there, helping them figure out how to solve a problem. But we still need the plumber, again, augmenting their thinking. You know, doctors and surgeons will be using them, augmenting their thinking. Whatever we do, helping us. And by the way, one other thing I've got to share with you, AI gets you 80% there fast, not 100%. So it's a first draft, not a last draft. Why? Because now we need you. We need you to bring your humanity to it, to bring your knowledge to it, to bring your humanness to it, to bring your insights, your wisdom to it, and to not make it sound like just another piece of AI, which becomes slop after a while. That's the word that's being used. So remember, it can get you 80% there fast. Good. I don't want to be staring at a blank screen long, Dan. I want to get 80% fast.
Yes.
But indeed. Now I can work at that higher level to refine it and get it far better. See, that's where humans will shine.
Thank you so much, Dan, for sharing those perspectives about AI. And, you know, there are a percentage of people who think that, I will not keep up with AI, or I don't want to explore what is out there. I don't want to see what is new. The thing is, if we do that kind of work, we will just keep getting backwards, because whether we want it or not, technology is advancing and it's getting heavily being based on AI. So if we don't do our due diligence to keep ourselves updated with that growth, we are the one who is getting to, you know, we'll be getting left behind. So thank you so much for sharing that perspective.
Yeah, and by the way, the same thing was true when they first came out with calculators. And the same thing was true when they first came out with Google. And
yes,
you know, and now we use it all indeed. The time. So you will be using it more and more anyway. And I would say experiment. I mean, if you haven't tried it yet and you're really opposed to it, what I would suggest is, why don't you get a free version of ChatGPT? And you can go to openai.chatgpt and get a free version and just play with it a little bit. Just experiment with it a little bit. You will start to then all of a sudden get, now I kind of get it. And it can be very, very useful.
Indeed. Wonderful advice, Dan. We are nearing to the end of our podcast, but I want to ask you this one question, though, before ending. For listeners who want to stay relevant and future ready, where do you think they should start from?
Well, I would love for you to consider going to Amazon and getting my anticipatory organization book. It sounds like it's for a company, but it really is for people as well. And again, a lot of great resources on my website. And as I said, follow me on LinkedIn. I share a lot on there and it doesn't cost you a dime to do that. So, you know, that's a good way to start your journey. But to realize that there are a lot of things you may think you aren't good at right now. And even you said yourself, you didn't know if you were good in front of people or in front of a camera until you started getting in front of a camera. And I would say, actually, you are good in front of a camera. In other
words, we
think we aren't good at something, but we haven't tried it yet. But when we actually try it and experiment with it, all of a sudden we break the barriers of fear and mm-hmm. we start realizing, yeah, you know what? We can get better at these things. So indeed. I think there's so much hidden in you that I'd like you all to discover. It's fun to discover all of those things and to become the future you that you deserve to be.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dan, for your words of wisdom, your times and perspective from your own experiences. You mentioned you started your career from teaching and then you built these wonderful companies that got to the height of success. We lack those perspectives because we don't get to meet people and to get to talk those firsthand. So dear listeners, I would really encourage you to visit www.burrus.com to find those resources, the reports, even, you know, the strategy guides that Dan talked about. And, you know, just start with those and definitely check out Dan's book in Amazon. So we'll have all those links in Dan's webpage. So if you want to take a peek at those, just go to the activeaction.fm website and type Daniel's name and his webpage will come up. And if you have any questions for Dan, feel free to reach out and follow Dan on the social media, especially in LinkedIn, where he shares a lot of wonderful resources for you guys. Thank you again, Dan, for joining this podcast. I really appreciate having you and your valuable time to sharing those perspectives with me and my listeners.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Dear listener, thank you again so much for listening to this episode. If you have found this episode useful, please feel free to share this with your friends and family. I'll be back again with another episode with another amazing guest. Until then, stay active and take action. I'll meet with you soon. Take care.
Thank you for joining us on the Active Action Podcast at activeaction.fm. We hope today's episode gave you some entertainment, fresh perspectives, and a little extra motivation to take action in your own life. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you enjoyed the show, share it with someone who might love it too. Visit our website, activeaction.fm, to enjoy all episodes and other exclusive contents on self-development. Take care, stay active, and take action.